Mrs. Sabot, members of the faculty, ladies and gentlemen. I wish to thank Mrs. Sabot for the kind and complimentary remarks made on my account. A compliment may be interpreted two ways. One way is to look upon a compliment as a form of compensation. Compensation for work accomplished in the past. Such a compliment carries with it an invisible slip of paper which bears the inscription, "Paid in full." Another way of interpretation is to take the compliment in a spirit of a challenge of a task ahead to be accomplished. I shall take your kind words, Mrs. Sabot, in the spirit of a challenge, and I hope that with your cooperation, cooperation of the parents, and with the help of the Almighty, we shall live up to our expectations. Tonight, I wish to discuss with you the educational program of the yeshiva and the part we as parents can play in helping our children derive the most benefit of it. Yeshiva education consists of a threefold program: secular education, Hebrew instruction, and experience in Jewish living. In the secular field, though we follow the same program as the one adopted by the City Board of Education, we at the yeshiva had to devise new methods and a new approach for the most effective way of teaching. For our program is an accelerated one, since we allow only half the time that public school normally devotes to the same subjects. In this respect, our school is performing a marvelous task. Credit for which must be given to our able, efficient, and devoted teaching staff. Perhaps it will be of interest to you to know that the accelerated program of yeshivas was a topic of lengthy discussion at the recent convention of the NAE, that is the National Association of Educators. I'm also told that the Board of Regents in the city of New York, the state of New York, is now studying the program of the various New York yeshivas with a view of recommending certain changes in the program of the public schools based on the experience of the yeshivas. In connection with this study, Professor Jacob Hartstein of the Yeshiva University, whom we had the pleasure of meeting here 2 years ago, was appointed to serve as a member of the Board of Regents. In order to bring his yeshiva experience to that board, the English program of the yeshiva is not an easy one, yet our children are mastering it successfully. The Hebrew program of the yeshiva is even more complicated, for here again we had to accelerate and condense a normally 4 or 5 hour program in but 2.5 or 3 hours. And while in English studies, a child may rely on parental help or the help of an older member of the family, as far as Hebrew studies are concerned, the child is usually left on his own. after the first or second grade in the yeshiva, a child cannot obtain any help at home whatsoever. This places a tremendous responsibility on a yeshiva student. To illustrate this point, let us imagine for a moment that the public school would decide to introduce a foreign language in school, a language like French, Spanish, or German in the third or fourth grade. And as a compensation for introducing such a subject, the school authorities would accelerate and condense the English program into 3 hours. Hebrew is not only a foreign language. It has a script of its own. It's written from right to left. And we begin our Hebrew studies not with the third or fourth grade, but with the very first. In fact, with the primer grades. In the third grade, the subject of Chumash is added. In the fourth, they are introduced to Rashi, which is a different script and contains part of the Aramaic language. In the sixth grades, the yeshiva student begins the intricate study of the Talmud. Question may be raised whether such an ambitious program does not overtax the capacity of young children. My answer to this question, based on 14 years of experience in our own yeshiva and the experience of yeshivas throughout the country, is a definite no. It does not overtax the capacity of a normal child, providing the ability of that child is not below average, and what is most important, that a child comes from a home where he enjoys a happy home life. This program, my friends, calls for the utilization of every minute of the time the child spends in school, and in bringing into play all of the abilities and hidden qualities the child may possess. Hebrew education has the effect of developing and increasing a child's abilities. This observation was made once by the great George Bernard Shaw when he stated, "A Jew is born educated." Hebrew education has the effect of inflating the child's abilities. Like inflating a rubber tire with 25 or 30 pounds of air, though we may add 25 pounds of weight, yet it rides smoother and faster and brings the vehicle to the desired destination. Likewise, though we the record of our graduates in junior and high school, and now I'm happy to state their record in the various colleges, many of whom never displayed any exceptional abilities, yet they are giving a wonderful account of themselves in their respective schools. This and many other facts tend to substantiate the statement by George Bernard Shaw. Children with abilities of below average, or children who have problems at home, are not yeshiva material. For we do not have the time to cure problems, nor can we perform miracles by instilling the required abilities for such a program. As to our present student body, I'm happy to state that 95% of them do meet the requirements, and you may be proud of the fact that your children can take it. The average student in our school is able to proceed and make satisfactory progress in English as well as in Hebrew. Here again, I wish to commend the efficient, able, and devoted Hebrew staff for their wonderful work. With respect to Hebrew studies, the cooperation of the home plays a very important part. Cooperation not in the sense of helping the child with his Hebrew subjects, but in the sense of displaying an attitude of interest in the child's Hebrew studies and the importance of it. We had cases where children complained that their parents did not consider certain Hebrew subjects as important. Such an attitude on the part of parents can have but one effect: the weakening of the child's will and ambition to learn. Instead of helping the child by encouragement, the child is made unhappy and develops into a problem. This brings me to the third phase of our program: the experience in Jewish living. This is not the subject. We do not use any textbook for that except the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, which classes are taught several times a week. But being in a Jewish environment for 6 or 7 hours a day, the prayers they say, the brachas they make, the Shabbos and holiday programs they enjoy, the songs and biblical stories, the Jewish topics they discuss, all this adds to their experience of Jewish living, which constitutes an education itself, an education of Judaism in practice, and develops and development of character. We consider this phase a very important one, for experience as a rule is more lasting and has a far greater effect on the development of the personality of a child than any subject matter he may learn. You and I may not remember certain subjects we studied so diligently while in school, though we spent a great deal of time in studying it and had to pass through rigid examinations. Yet, as soon as we left school, we forgot all about it. But a happy experience of school life, even a minor one, is still quite vivid in our minds, and we will probably remember it for a long, long time. The experience of Jewish living may someday be the deciding factor in the happiness of your child and your family. I do not desire to dwell too much on this point, but it is something to consider quite seriously at this time, in view of the bitter experience that many a fine Jewish family has unfortunately experienced. In this respect, the understanding and cooperation of parents is very essential. The home must not contradict the beliefs and ideas of the child, else we create a state of confusion in the tender minds of our children. So much so for the yeshiva program and the part we as parents can play in helping our children obtain the best possible results. In conclusion, I wish to say a few words about the ultimate aim and objective of the yeshiva. From all you heard tonight, you may be under the impression that we are trying to make rabbis or rabbitsons out of your children. Let me assure you that this is not the case. I stated a year ago that I have two good reasons for that. First, I'm too much of a friend of youth to wish such a thankless profession upon anyone, and I ought to know. Secondly, the standard of the rabbinate today is unfortunately such that one does not need much of a Hebrew education in order to be a rabbi. Perhaps in some distant future, when more of the yeshiva graduates will assume their respective positions in the community, they will elevate the rabbinate to a higher scholastic standard, and the position of a rabbi will become a more pleasant profession. What I have learned to you constitutes the very minimum of a program that is deserving name Hebrew education. This due to the fact that we are an Amma Sefer, the people of the book. We have the richest and most colorful history and culture of any nation on earth. What we are trying to do is to hand to our children a key to our spiritual heritage and to teach them how to use it and imbue them with a desire to use it. Our aim, therefore, is to give our children a well-rounded and well-balanced Hebrew and English education, so that they may face the world with confidence and pride. There's an old Jewish proverb which says, "Can also is machen von einer Yeshiva Bacher, aber nicht von alles kann man machen eine Yeshiva Bacher," which means you can make everything you want from a yeshiva student, but you cannot make a yeshiva student from everything you want. The education and experience a child obtains at the yeshiva has the effect, sharpens his mind and prepares him better for life in whatever profession he or she may choose later on in life. We want our children. It was Disraeli who once stated, "The only thing a Jew owes to the world is to be a Jew. He deprives the world of a great benefit if he denies himself or his children the opportunity to express themselves as Jews." We want our children to know of their Jewishness from a positive angle, from the great spiritual advantages Judaism offers them, and not from the negative angle of a nebuchadnezzar. When you're a kindergarten or prima child salutes the Hebrew flag every day, he's challenging all the anti-Semites and semi-anti-Semites in the world. He goes through no less an experience as when he salutes the American flag. This is as far as the individual child is concerned. From a national standpoint, our aim is that American Jews should assume leadership in the Hebrew cultural and religious field as the largest Jewish community in the world. We hope that someday our children will contribute and enrich the everlasting spiritual values of the Jewish people.